It's time for Hoag Health Radio. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the program. Thanks so much for being here. On today's show, we have an excellent guest, Dr. Steven Feinberg, a laryngologist specializing in voice and swallowing disorders, who directs Hoag Hospital's Voice and Swallowing Center. Welcome, Dr. Feinberg.
Thank you.
So nice Glad to have you on the program today. You know, I always like to start with a working definition, just to get everybody on the same page. What, in a nutshell, are swallowing disorders?
Well, swallowing disorders are problems that arise from the impairment of our normal ability to swallow saliva, food, and liquids.
Pretty basic function, huh?
It's a very basic function, and we often take it for granted until it becomes disordered.
Right. So let's start with the most common type of swallowing disorder and have you tell us a little bit about the treatment options your patients have. What's the most common ailment you see in your office?
I would say some of the most common swallowing problems we see are patients that have food that sticks in their throat,
mm-hmm.
sometimes pills that stick in the throat, and,
right.
and sometimes those things will stick further down in the chest or in the esophagus.
Okay. Is this from a lack of saliva, or what's the problem usually?
There are a number of reasons why patients have trouble swallowing. One important thing that you just raised is saliva.
Mm-hmm.
When we chew our food, it mixes with saliva and it becomes moistened, and that eases the way that the food or liquid will slide down the throat and into the swallowing tube or esophagus. And things as basic as missing teeth, lack of saliva, tongue weakness or impairment, or throat weakness can make it difficult for food to become properly passed into the esophagus.
Okay. And how do you diagnose such disorders?
Well, we take a careful history, and oftentimes there are reasons such as medications, neurologic conditions, as basic as stroke, Parkinson's disease, tremor, sometimes things as simple as a dry mouth
mm-hmm.
that will lead people to have difficulties. We glean a lot of that from the history,
mm-hmm.
And then a careful physical examination looking at the mouth, the dentition, the throat muscles, and then down at the larynx.
Okay. And there's no
cases,
really way you can replace the saliva, is there?
Well, we can, for people that are having trouble swallowing because of a lack of saliva, we can often eliminate medications that might be drying.
Mm-hmm.
Patients have had head and neck cancer for which they've received radiation therapy.
Sure.
And sometimes the throat is very dry after that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are means of trying to replace the saliva, and there are even some medications that improve the outflow of saliva from the salivary glands.
Oh, that's great news. I didn't know that. That's great. I know they can do things for dry eyes, but I didn't know they could do things for dry throat.
That's right. Very, very analogous.
What is the most dangerous thing, in your opinion, about swallowing disorders?
Well, when patients have difficulty swallowing, oftentimes that can lead to aspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And the larynx is there to protect our windpipe and our lungs from food and liquids entering the airway. And when food and liquids do enter the airway, we're at risk for getting a pneumonia. And so that can be the most dangerous part of difficulty swallowing. Some patients will also develop choking, which can be very scary and can lead to difficulty breathing. And
right.
we've all seen people in restaurants that needed to have the Heimlich maneuver performed on them. And so that's another dangerous aspect of the inability to swallow.
Not to mention, it sort of impairs the fun of going out to a restaurant, huh?
That's right. We derive a large amount of enjoyment and satisfaction from our ability to eat, both as a means of enjoying the food as well as a way of socializing.
Right.
And so for patients that can't swallow, they avoid those situations.
Yeah, it's a quality of life issue for sure. My sister once took a large lysine pill. They're very large, and it perforated her throat. What would it be that it perforated? You could tell me. You're the doctor.
It may have perforated her esophagus.
Yes, it did. That's what it did. Mm-hmm. Very dangerous.
Absolutely. Many types of pills can actually cause a chemical inflammation, irritation, or erosion in the esophagus. And so people should always drink a large amount of water with pills,
mm-hmm.
any type of pill.
Okay.
And if it feels as though it is stuck, and if that feeling hasn't gone away, they should seek medical care.
And when you say a large amount, do you mean a real big tall glass or a couple of glasses?
At least, no. You know, it depends on the individual situation. For someone that doesn't have a large amount of trouble swallowing pills, several sips of water should be adequate.
Okay. All right. Several sips. Now we got that. Okay. Now, does every patient with a swallowing disorder need treatment?
Not every patient with a swallowing disorder needs treatment, but it is oftentimes important to assess the situation and make sure that the swallowing is safe.
Okay.
And so in order to figure that out, we use a number of different methods. As we discussed, we use the basic history and physical examination. But when we're trying to find out exactly what's going on with the swallow, we have a couple of different ways that we do that. One way is we use something called a modified barium esophagram,
okay.
In which we take an X-ray of the swallow. And so food is mixed with barium in different consistencies, and an X-ray is taken, and we're able to assess where that food is going. Is it going down the swallowing tube, or is it entering the airway?
Okay. And if it's going the wrong way...
If it's going the wrong way, then we do need to engage in some type of discussion of treatment.
Okay. Which might include surgery?
Depending on the situation, there are a number of surgical and non-surgical types of difficulty swallowing. And so surgical types often include things such as pouches that can form from the esophagus. You may have heard of something called a Zanker's diverticulum.
Yes.
Or a Zanker's pouch, which is a pouch that forms from the top of the esophagus in which food or liquid can become trapped. And when the food and liquid becomes trapped there, some of that can spill over into the airway after the meal, causing the patient problems. That's a surgical cause of difficulty swallowing.
Okay.
Whereas when a patient may have had a critical illness and be hospitalized for some period of time and have weakness of the swallow, that's not a surgical problem, and oftentimes we employ swallowing therapy, which is basically physical therapy to strengthen the swallowing muscles.
So what would be an exercise you'd have somebody do to strengthen their swallowing muscles?
There are a number of tongue strengthening exercises that we use as far as protruding the tongue and swallowing extra hard, sometimes against physical structures in order to basically lift weights with the tongue.
Wow. Now, when you say physical structures, what are you talking about?
There's different types of teaching aids that we can use during swallowing therapy. Some of these are things as simple as tongue blades, which we swallow or do exercises against, and sometimes balloons.
That is absolutely fascinating.
We also have something called electrical stimulation, which is a device that is used to trigger the muscles that we're looking to strengthen using electric current. And our speech therapists employ that routine during swallowing therapy.
And you can expect reasonable results from this kind of therapy where people can go on and have normal lives afterwards?
Absolutely. And, of course, it depends on the cause of the difficulty swallowing.
Sure.
But most patients that have had a stroke or have had some other type of neurologic impairment will regain function over time. But swallowing therapy really helps to speed the process along.
Incredible. Fantastic thing. I mean, I can't imagine anything more satisfying than going to work and help people swallow again and enjoy their lives again and even speak better as well as a result, right?
Absolutely. The two functions of speech and swallowing are tied in together mainly through the muscles of the mouth and throat, as well as the larynx. And so when one problem arises with swallowing, there's oftentimes an associated voice problem.
Okay. Now, is it necessary to see a specialist in most cases, or can a person expect their primary physician to diagnose and treat most swallowing disorders?
Most primary physicians are well-versed in the types of tests that we use to diagnose these problems, and so we'll usually initiate the process. And depending on the area of dysfunction with the swallow, whether or not it is in the upper airway, which would be the mouth or larynx, or if it's in the lower swallowing tube, which would be the esophagus or stomach, they may refer the patient either to an otolaryngologist or to a gastroenterologist.
Because it's all connected, as we all know, huh?
That's right. And sometimes the patient may be referred to a lung doctor, especially for patients that have chronic aspiration, where they may have sustained damage to their lungs.
And luckily, Hoag works well together with all departments, right?
Swallowing is a multidisciplinary problem, and so we often team up in groups of doctors in order to treat those problems.
Thank you so much. Today we're talking with laryngologist Dr. Steven Feinberg about voice and swallowing disorders. And coming up, we'll discuss some of the latest options for diagnosis and treatment. For more information on Dr. Feinberg, you can visit hoaghospital.org. And you can also listen to a podcast of this show whenever you like and tell a friend. It's Deborah Howell for Hoag Hospital in Newport Beach. Please stay with us. There's much more to come.